Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. You're about to hear an episode of Serving Today, which is a program for pastors and church leaders. It will also be of interest if you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group. Serving Today will be a helpful resource for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. I'm glad to be with you once more. From Slavery to Service, more in the series from Doug Johnson. Well, here on Serving Today, we're in the middle of a series looking at the book of Exodus under the theme From Slavery to Service, and we're doing that with the help of Doug Johnson, and we're pleased to welcome him back to the program again. Doug, what's the title of our next talk?
It's God the Holy One, and we're looking particularly at Exodus 32, verses 30 to 35.
And what's the background to this?
Well, we've seen very much the story of salvation in the first 19 chapters, and as you look on from there, especially from chapter 20 onwards, you read the laws of God and how they are meant, now they are the saved people, to serve God. And in the middle of that story, there is a problem. It is when sin comes in and they fail to serve God as they should, and they come face to face with the holiness of God.
And what main point are we going to try and get across in this talk?
Well, as we look at this passage about the golden calf, the big idea, I think, is that sin needs to be acknowledged and confessed if people are to be forgiven and to be at one with God.
Before coming on to the talk itself, how would you introduce it?
I think there is always a danger for Christians, and often for churches, that we will rely on things that we can see rather than on things we can't see. So we become obsessed with money, that our accounts are as full as they can be, with numbers, that our churches are as full as they can be. Or we may rely on having good places to worship, or the right people worshipping among us. We look to things that we can see rather than focus on what can't be seen, the promise of God and the things that he commands. And when those things that are seen become important for us, they actually become idols. Now, this is nothing new. It's obvious that the people of Israel thought like this too. It is never clearer in the Bible than in the story before us of the golden calf. Israel had seen God at work so many times, even if they'd not seen God himself. And yet, they wanted an image to worship. They wanted something that they could see to assure themselves of God's presence. So while Moses and Joshua were up on the mountain, the people persuaded Aaron to make the image of a calf for them. They had seen this kind of image before. The Egyptians had a god who was represented by a bull. And if some of the people saw the image that Aaron had made as a symbol or a sign of the true God's presence, they were still breaking the commandments. God had forbidden them to make any kind of image at all. You can read about that in Exodus 20, verses 4 and 6. Apparently, all the people contributed gold towards the making of this calf. And when it was made, Aaron said that this was the God that brought them out of Egypt. And all Israel joined in a feast, in a festival, to acknowledge this God and to sacrifice to it. It was at this point that Moses and Joshua came down the mountain carrying the commandments on two pieces of stone. As they neared the camp, they heard the noise of the festival. On seeing the calf, Moses broke the tablets of stone and he destroyed the calf. Aaron pretends the creation of the calf happened of its own accord. And eventually judgment comes on the people as the Levites execute some of the worshippers. Moses has a very serious problem indeed to deal with, and he knows where he must start.
So we'll read the passage, Exodus 32, verse 30 to 35. The next day Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made. Doug, what's the first heading in this talk, God the Holy One?
It is that sin creates a problem, and we're looking particularly at verses 30 and 31. You can see the seriousness of the problem already in the fact that about 3,000 people are killed. But there is a greater problem to be faced, and that is in their relationship with God. Moses sums it up in verse 30. "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." They have sinned, and now the question is, can atonement be made? Atonement that will bring forgiveness for them. Their sin was to make the golden calf and worship it. They wanted a God they could see rather than the true God who is invisible. Although, again, they had plenty of evidence for the existence and the care of God working on their behalf. But their sin creates the problem. Because God is the Holy One, sin separates them from God and brings them under judgment. Although only some of the people were killed as a punishment, all of them will have to face some kind of judgment. Moses goes back up the mountain to meet with the Lord and confesses that they have sinned. He has gone in the hope that atonement can be made, that the price can be paid to wipe out their sin. So, sin creates a problem. They want a God that they can see, and they've made an image against the law of the invisible God. Now they have to recognize how great that problem is, how great the problem sin is, and they will have to look for a way to deal with that.
So what kind of questions can we ask our people at this point?
I think it's a good point at which to face people with the questions, such as, what do we rely on? Often people do depend on the buildings that they have, on the finance or the people that they have, or even on the minister that they have. We often set other things in the place of God by giving them an importance that they're not really due. That is a danger, I think, that exists for every church and every individual in every age.
Okay, so that was the first heading, sin creates a problem. What's the next one?
Well, we've begun to see this already. It is sin needs a remedy, verses 32 and 33. Moses is now back up the mountain where he had met with God. And having confessed the sin of the people, he asks for forgiveness on their behalf. Such is Moses' commitment to the people that he is in fact ready to give up his own life for their sake. If you look at verse 32, he says that he is prepared to have his own name blotted out of the book that God has written. To save people, you see, he is willing to have God forget about him, to remove him from God's book of life. Now, Scripture tells us that there is a book in which God keeps the names of all his people so that they might never be lost. And Moses is saying he's willing to have his name removed from that book if it means that the people will be saved and the people will be forgiven. But God is clear that this is not the way. The Lord, verse 33, replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot his name out of my book." God is saying that people have to be responsible for their own sin, so Moses cannot stand in the place of others. The good news is, of course, that the day will come, however, and has come for us, when there will be someone who is holy, who doesn't have to bear responsibility for their own sins because he has none, who is without sin himself, who can take the sin of others on himself, and thereby make us at one with God. In fact, because this one, who we know as Jesus, is both God and man, he can take away sin forever and for all who trust in him. This is the New Testament's verdict on what he has done. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Peter, in 1 Peter 3, agrees with this. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. You see, sin needs a remedy, and that remedy is only for us to be found in Jesus, and we must trust him.
Now we come to the final heading of this talk, God, the Holy One.
The final heading is that sin has consequences, verses 34 and 35 of chapter 32. Although the people seemed to have given up on God and wanted an idol instead, God makes it clear that he will not give up on the people. In verse 34, he says that he will still go with his people. Their journey to the promised land is to go on. Moses will lead them there. God's purposes and plan are not over. He will still be with them and lead them. And yet, sin has consequences. Even though sin is confessed and forgiven, the effects of the sin will still be felt by the people. So, God says to them, this is verse 34, now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin. Sin has consequences. It won't go unpunished. And we see God disciplining his people for what they have done. We see this in their later history because sin and rebellion causes them to lose the land at the time of the exile. Now God makes his warning clear by sending a plague on them. No one is recorded as dying from this plague, but all the people are punished. It shows that God, as the Holy God, takes sin seriously, and that sinful actions do have consequences. God is ready to discipline his people when they turn away from him. The people then, as we do now, have to live with the effects of their sin.
Thanks to Doug Johnson for that talk outline called God the Holy One from Exodus chapter 32, verses 30 to 35. Well, that brings our time together to a close here on Serving Today. So this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God, who rescues us from sin, be with his servants. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. That's servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter. The address there is @servingtodaygbm, @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening and goodbye.